need a Sunday school lesson and you did not get one, if you just slip your hand up, we have some extras there. We have one up front here, Dad. Continue to pray with us as we figure out what all was affected with our lightning strike on the 19th. We are getting that taken care of, and the insurance company is being helpful. That's a good thing. We have a good insurance company. I thank the Lord for that. I was just cautious. I said, man, two strikes in 2 years, they're going to think we have a racket going on and drop us. So that was my main prayer. And the lady said, when I talked to her on Monday, she says, wow, normally people panic when this happens. It seems like you've got it all together. And I didn't tell her, yeah, because we just went through this a couple months ago. Don't get any ideas, but just pray for us that everything would be replaced, that we'd figure out how to possibly put in some safeguards that might prevent it next time. But then I've had the electrician tell me, he said, this time most likely the strike that hit us was a bolt coming from the ground up to the sky. And there's a couple different types of lightning. One is just a direct strike. One is where it comes down and then a bolt comes up from the ground. And he said, when that happens, there's nothing you can do to prevent it because you have to be grounded. And it's just seeking to connect. So I didn't know there was three different types of lightning. Did you? No. Yeah. Anyway, we learn different things every day. Matthew 26, if you have your Bibles open or you can look there on your notes. Matthew 26, there's actually two other passages. One is in Mark 14. And you'll see that there on your notes as well. And then a shorter passage in the book of Luke about this morning's lesson, Luke chapter 22. Now, we'll spend our time this morning just reading out of Matthew. And who would follow along with me. It says, then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, please help us this morning as we study this passage of Scripture, these different scripture verses that we'll be looking at. Please impress on our hearts the importance of prayer. Lord, please forgive me. I don't pray enough. We thank you for the privilege. And God, I pray that you would help us to remember to pray more frequently. In your name I pray. Amen. Thus far, much of Peter's education as a disciple. Remember, we're following this. Peter, the education of a disciple. Disciple means a disciplined one. I actually had a conversation with a preacher a couple weeks back, and he has the feeling that there are no Christians. Every Christian is a disciple of Christ, and no Christians are not. And I disagree with that. Every Christian should be a disciple of Christ. And there are some who have not taken that step. They ought to. And they remain in infancy. That's why we're calling you. Take that step. Disciple is a disciplined one, and we are called to be. Much of Peter's education as a disciple was derived from simply being near the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're near a teacher, you can't help but hear some teaching every once in a while. And those of you that are teachers, you know, switch into teaching mode every time a question is asked. Well, he would learn from Christ's words and his actions. And this is a prime example today. If we want to learn and grow, we need to spend much time in the presence of the Lord. If you want to learn and be affected by someone, you have to spend time with them. And it is the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's in us, yes, through the Holy Spirit. But if we're going to spend time with him, it's just not casual time. It's focused time, time in prayer and time in his word. And so today we're going to focus on the issue of prayer, a lesson on prayer. Jesus was teaching them not just the other, other things that they could be gleaning from this event here, but the lesson on prayer. That's what we want to focus on. And so first of all, we see that Jesus sorrowed. Jesus sorrowed. That's your first point in your notes this morning. Jesus sorrowed. It's vitally important for us as believers to understand something. It's vitally important. Jesus is God, okay? He's God the Son in eternity past. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's talking about God the Son. He was tempted like we are, but he also sorrowed as we do. He allowed himself as a human being to experience the fullness of human emotion. And he was tired, he was spent, and he sorrowed. These scripture verses here in Matthew, we looked over them. Matthew 26:38 says, "Then saith he unto them," he took them into the mountain, he said, "I want you to sit here and watch." And then as he's speaking with them, the way that the scripture presents it, he brought all the disciples, and then he took Peter, James, and John, and he took them aside. And then as he is with them, before he began to pray, his soul began to be exceeding sorrowful, he says, even unto death. In Mark 14, he said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." The Lord Jesus Christ experienced what you experience. He knows what it is to sorrow. He knows what it is to feel pain and anguish. He knows what it is to feel rejection. And that's why the scripture says in the book of Hebrews, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." Sometimes people have the idea that God is disconnected, that he doesn't know what it's like. I don't know if you've ever had somebody tell them that they understand something you're going through, but they've never gone through it. What they're trying to do is make you feel better, but if they've never gone through it, it's a little bit empty. And they don't mean anything by it. But our Lord Jesus Christ came to earth, and he experienced the fullness of human sorrow and emotion. He knows what it is. So he's our high priest, and it says he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And because of that, we have a mediator with God that is perfect. It says in Isaiah 53, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." The Lord Jesus Christ, He knows what it is to experience the things that we experience. And so he gives them a request. You know, it's interesting. His response to sorrow, was to pray. The Lord's response was to take it to his heavenly Father. And so he says, as he's going to pray, he asked his disciples to watch. The request to watch. Look at the scripture verse here on the screen. Listen as I read it. We read it just a minute ago in our greater passage. "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Just watch. Just be alert. Just be awake and be with me. Sometimes it's helpful just to have people with you, not because you need an extra pair of hands, but you need an extra person. You ever had somebody that's just there for moral support? Sometimes if you're taking on an extreme task that you really don't want to do, just having somebody there to talk to you. Every now and then when I'm working on vehicles, I just like to have somebody there to talk. you know. And if they're not there, I turn on talk radio, you know, or a sermon or something. I like that. And they say, I say, man, thank you for your help. They're like, I didn't do anything. It was just the moral support. We as human beings, we need that connection. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ asked his disciples to do that. He needed to go off by himself to pray. And his simple request was for them to be alert and just awake. By the way, he knew what was about to come and they didn't. He knew the trials to come. He knew it in detail. And as a man, he took time to prepare spiritually and emotionally for what was to come. Did you know that prayer prepares you for what is to come? And you don't know what's around the corner. God does. You don't. That's why it's vitally important that we be praying without ceasing, the scripture says. He needed the strength to go all the way to the cross. He was going to be praying, and he just says, watch with me. And as he entered into that quiet moment, he asked his disciples to enter into his ministry of prayer. Did you know the Lord Jesus Christ has a ministry of prayer? He did while on earth. He talked to the Father, and now he does still. You say, but Pastor, he's in heaven. That's okay. Prayer is simply communication with God. What is it our Lord Jesus Christ does now on our behalf? Makes intercession with the Father. Well, I'm going to talk about that in the morning service. It's so interesting how the Lord lined up the Sunday school and the morning message. I didn't even realize it till I was studying for Sunday school, and I said, God already lined this up. Hebrews 7, this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. This is speaking of Jesus in Hebrews. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is in the presence of God. He himself is God interceding for us on our behalf. Still in the ministry of prayer. And he calls the disciples to watch with him. Just to watch. You know, one of if you're a watchman, the responsibilities of a watchman are kind of twofold. It is to intervene if you see things. It's to warn. But it's also to intercede. Did you know that you're supposed to be watchmen for people around you in the ministry of prayer? When you see people going through needs, to pray for them. I love technology. Sometimes it can be a hassle, and I know some of you resent it. And if you do, then shut it off and, you know, put it away for a while. But you can send encouraging notes through this thing right here. I know it does some bad things, you know, if you're not careful and don't manage it properly. But you can send text messages. You can say, I'm praying for you, a scripture verse, send it to somebody. That's what watchmen can do. And you know somebody's going through something. Jesus requests them to watch, but he also requests to pray. The request to pray. Look at this scripture verse here in Matthew 26, or listen aloud. He came to the disciples, and finding them asleep, saith unto Peter. Peter gets singled out. It's interesting because in both Matthew and Mark, Jesus singles out Peter. I don't know if he's the ringleader or he's the ringleader and making them sleep. I don't know why, but he says to Peter, both of these guys say that. Then he saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Luke 22:40, when he was at the place and saith unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. But he says this to Peter. He's asking for them to pray. He was about to teach them a lesson that it was not just enough to watch, but we need to pray as well. Did you know that when we work, we work? But when we pray, God works. When we work, we work. Now, you can do a lot of things. Maybe you're a gifted person. You have some abilities or different things. But when you pray, God works. And in that way, even whatever you do, prayer should accompany everything you do. It's no accident the scripture tells us many times to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Say it with me. Pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1, he spake a parable unto them unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He says in Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore and pray always. And then in 22:40, he says, pray that ye enter not into temptation. We should be praying constantly, Christian. We need God to work. Yes, we ought to. And I said this, on Easter Sunday. I was just, the Lord emphasized this in my life, because We try to get ready for special events. We want to impact people. We want to connect. We want to have an influence, preparing the messages and planning the events and setting up this and planning for that and making sure we have enough donuts. That is important. And everything, you know, so it's seamless so that there's fewer distractions, that Christ can be magnified. And if we're not careful, we'll put our faith into our planning and our preparation and our work, and we'll forget prayer is important, because we can run around like a chicken with our heads cut off. Sorry if that's a gory illustration. My grandma always used to say that, and I love her for it. She's in heaven now, and I wonder if she still says that. We can run around doing everything, but if we don't pray, we're not tapping into the power of God. He says, watch and pray. What do the disciples do? Oh, by the way, he says, pray that ye, and I underline this, pray, what should they pray for? Well, here, pray that ye enter not into temptation. See, there was temptation that would come. Christ knew something that they did not know. No, he knew that there was a trial about to happen. Circumstances were about to arise. They should have known. He told them about it. But he knew that with the trial would come temptation. Did you know that when you're put under pressure, when you're put under stress, sometimes that results in greater temptation levels as well? In fact, the book of James uses those two words interchangeably. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The temptation is there coming together with a trial. And they would face temptations to doubt when their Savior was arrested. They would face temptations to fight. They would face temptations to fear, to walk in the flesh instead of faith. Prayer is a definite necessity because it helps us deal with both the current difficulty and prepare our hearts for the trial to come that we don't even know about. But what did they do? The disciples, they slept. Isn't it? Our flesh gets weary. They slept. Matthew 26:40, he says, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? I don't know. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. It might be embarrassing. Last time we've tried to pray for an hour, I put this a meme on Facebook. It says, how many of you have prayer ADHD? You know, and we get distracted and we're praying, and then all of a sudden our mind is over here, or I'm praying and I fall asleep. I try to pray in the morning after I wake up, and I'll set my snooze. And so I fall back asleep, but then my alarm goes off, I wake up again, and I can pick up where I left off, you know. I don't think the Lord's offended. But you know, our flesh does get weary. He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And this is the case. Many times the flesh overcomes the spirit. Our flesh doesn't like our long prayer meetings, much less all-night prayer meetings. The disciples slept, and so we see the willingness of the spirit. Christ does recognize that. Their spirit was willing. Listen to this scripture verse from Matthew 26:38-39. He says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. They were at a very difficult time for a very close friend. A very difficult time. I don't know if you've ever had a friend call you up and say, you know what? I'm under so much pressure, I feel like I'm going to die. That'll get your attention, wouldn't it? Would it not? Yes. It should. What would you do for them? Well, if you're a good friend, okay, you'd be getting into your car. You'd be saying, what do I need to do? How can I help you? I'll be over there. I'll sit with you for an hour. You ever done that before? As a pastor, I've done that before. And I go and I just sit with somebody. Yes. And there's nothing that I can really say to really make it any better. You're just there for them. That's what he was asking his disciples to do. They were willing. They went there. They went with Jesus to be in the place of prayer. They listened to him. They followed him. They were close to him. They were willing. Are you willing to do what Christ asks you to do? You know, God esteems highly a willing spirit. Take your Bibles. You can hold your place in Matthew, but turn over to Mark 12. Sometimes just willingness is what God recognizes. Not necessarily our ability, but our willingness. He does honor that. Verse Verse 41 of Mark 12, Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury. Instead of offering plates, they had like a jar or some type of receptacle. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Okay? Nothing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more in than all that have cast into their treasury, for all that they cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did she cast in all that she had, even all her living. Nobody there could have known that except for the Lord. You know what that tells me? That tells me that God recognizes when we're willing. You say, well, Pastor, she wasn't just willing, she actually did it. Yeah, and that's important. Willingness without follow-through, okay, it falls short. And we are to be willing, we are to move. The disciples were willing, but they had the weakness of the flesh. The willingness of the Spirit, but recognize also the weakness of the flesh. Matthew 26:41, he says, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Did you know that you never get to the point where your flesh enjoys spiritual work? You can be saved for 100 years and your flesh doesn't like spiritual discipline. Your flesh will not like giving money. Your flesh will not like soul winning. Your flesh will not like spending hours in prayer. Your flesh won't like waking up super early and reading the Word of God. That's why it's important that we don't walk in the flesh. That's right. Now, I say that sometimes, and people kind of look at me like, I don't know what he's saying. When I say, my flesh doesn't like soul winning any more than yours does. And they look at me like, what are you talking about? You never get to the point where your flesh is sanctified. That's why we are to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. Despite their good intentions to do what Jesus had requested, Peter, James, and John gave in to the weariness and fell asleep. And as long as we're in this world, we're going to have that constant battle between the flesh and the Spirit. Galatians 5:17 says, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The psalmist says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He's saying, yes, it's hard in the flesh, but I'm going to rely on the Lord. That's another reason why prayer is so important. Through prayer, we strengthen what part of us? The Spirit. That's right. And it seems simple, Christian, but if you've been saved very long, you know it's not easy. There's a difference between being simple and being easy. That's why whenever somebody, every now and then, people will try to explain things to me, and they go, it's not hard, you just do this. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, you can use those words all you want, but that doesn't make it easy. It makes it simple. But not easy. We sing the song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Simple, isn't it? Does that mean it's easy? No. No. It can be difficult. And that's why we need to pray. It's why we need to pray. We need God's help on a daily basis. And we find that the disciples were silenced. Silenced. The Lord Jesus Christ comes in and teaches them this lesson. They were silenced. Look at verse 40 of Matthew 26. He cometh to the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, I made this comment before, maybe it's because Peter was the one who was always speaking up, and Jesus anticipated that maybe Peter would have popped off a remark. You ever done that before where you have a group of people and you know the trouble causer who's always going to say something? So you make eye contact with them and speak right directly to them. I'm not going to do that while I'm preaching, lest you think that I'm singling you out, you know. But I believe maybe that's what was happening here. But both Matthew and Mark, Jesus singled out Peter. Look at Mark 14:37. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter. You know, I imagine Peter was like, what did I do? They're sleeping too. Peter, Simon Peter, sleepest thou? Could not thou watch 1 hour? You know, he trusted his closest disciples, these men, to watch and pray with him. And he found them asleep twice. Why was it? Well, it's because the heaviness was strong. The heaviness was strong. Both Matthew and Mark tell us that their eyes were heavy. Their eyes were heavy. Sometimes we get into church and we sit in comfortable chairs. And I'm not, okay, if I say something, please don't take this wrong. But I see when folks doze off in church. And that's okay. I'm glad you're here. You know, maybe it'll burrow into your subconscious. That they call that the Baptist nod, right? If you can't say amen, at least do the Baptist nod. When I was in college, I worked a lot of hours, and I was up a lot of hours, and I would fall asleep in class. There was one class that I missed a lot of notes to because it was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon after a long shift, and I would read through my notes, and I don't know how many times I'd find a partial word and then just a line where my pen just whoop right off the page. I fell asleep in the middle of a Greek quiz one day. I was in Greek lab, and the professor was administering a quiz, and I fell asleep in between question 1 and question 3. I totally missed question 2. I still remember that. Very embarrassing. But you know what? That's the weariness of the flesh. It's hard. Can I tell you, God understands? He does. He says, but I fell asleep and so I missed something. These guys, and this is significant. We're reading Matthew, Mark, and Luke about this prayer meeting in the garden. Were any of those guys there? No, it was Peter, James, and John. The three that were closest to the event didn't even know what they had missed. Now, did they write books in the Bible? Yeah, Peter wrote 2 books in the Bible. James wrote a book in the Bible. John, okay. But you know what? It's significant that God used... So you say, well, how did they know what took place if they weren't there? Oh, come on. The Bible is God's words. Okay, he speaks through human authors. They didn't have to be there. Moses wasn't there when God made Adam and Eve, but he wrote the book of Genesis. So that's not a real challenge. But you know what that tells me is that sometimes we miss things that God has for us because we fall asleep spiritually, or we just coast. The heaviness is strong. And so, Christian, we don't want to just give in to it. Yeah, God does understand, but that doesn't mean we just take it and say, okay, well, I can't do anything about it. No, we constantly push. We fight against it. We pray for God's help. The heaviness was strong. Christ has great blessings available for us and to us through the privilege of prayer. And we must be on guard that we don't allow our weariness to keep us from what we need so desperately. The very thing that will give us strength. Communion with the Lord. You know, when Satan tempts us, he tempts us to not pray we're too busy to pray. Well, I'd say if you're busy, you're too busy not to pray. You need prayer. Sometimes weariness and heaviness and busyness will keep us from spending time with God, and we desperately need that. Listen to what the book of Isaiah says about this topic. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But you know, that's not where the end of that passage ends, is it? Now, that's where I ended it on the screen, but what does the rest of it say? It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The heaviness was strong. But you know, because of that, the hour was come. See, they had slept twice, 3 times. And Jesus says, the opportunity's over. The hour has come. Look at verse 45 in Matthew 26. Then he cometh to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now. The prayer time is over. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. The time had come for Jesus to allow himself to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot. The disciples For the disciples, everything they knew was about to be destroyed. Their world was about to be shaken. And prayer is an absolute necessity for believers to be spiritually healthy. For that reason, we must pray without ceasing. Christian, we do not know what temptation will come when trials. We do not know when trials will come. We don't know when, we don't know what, but who does? Who knows what's right around the corner for us? Our God does. And prayer is a meeting with whom? God. See, 1 Peter 4:7 says, "The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Christ has called us to the ministry of prayer. And while it won't be easy to fulfill his commandment, we might find ourselves battling, you know, fatigue and distractions, and even Satan himself. You know, we must be obedient. Continue. Don't just say, okay, and we resign ourselves. We must be praying without ceasing. And so if you miss a day or you miss a prayer time, pray without ceasing. Talk to the Lord. A continual conversation with the Lord throughout the day is the way that the Word of God presents it. In conclusion, three things. Understand the necessity of an intimate prayer life. That's what Jesus was teaching his disciples, trying to teach them. If God the Son needed to have an intimate prayer life, needed strength to go through what he was about to go through, and he went to God the Father about it, how much more do we? Secondly, realize that the hindrances to prayer, they stem from our fleshly weaknesses. And how long are you going to have the flesh and battle it? As long as you're here on this earth, friend. That's right. That's a battle you'll face the rest of your life on this earth. Now, do we just give up? No, we recognize that and we say, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to continue. Then thirdly, choose to cultivate a faithful, fervent prayer life with the help of the Lord. A faithful, fervent prayer life with the help of the Lord. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God answers prayer. Jesus taught his disciples about the importance of prayer. This is a lesson that you know. We know these things. We need to be talking to the Lord more frequently. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Lord, we do thank you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity this morning to study it. Speak to our hearts and burden them about this issue of prayer, Lord, that we would just talk with you more faithfully. Pour out our hearts to you. Spend more intimate time with you that you might influence us. Lord, we don't know the trials that are to come and the temptation that comes along with and because of the trials, but you do. Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen us. Strengthen us for the ministry of prayer and then strengthen us for the trials to come. Help us to be more faithful. Help us, Lord, to combat the flesh, to tell it no, even when it wants to not pray. In your name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed from Sunday school. We'll reconvene at 10:30.